All right, take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 4. The book of John chapter 4, we're going to continue. I have a series of three or four messages on this portion of the Word of God. Our subject this morning, drinking at the fountain of grace. Now, if you're saved here today, you've drank at the fountain of grace, but you're still drinking. A lot of people, you know, they say, well, I got saved, and so now I made a profession, and now I'm on my way to heaven, and I can do what I want to do. No, that's not it at all. That's a profession. When you have a genuine relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, the greatest communion you have is when you and He get together, and you can get together at any time of the day. This morning I walked for about 45 minutes and I had a real good time, just me and the Lord. The Lord was with me and I had a wonderful time, and I talked to Him about every one of you here. And I don't know whether you do that or not, but I hope that you will. If you don't have any kind of time alone with the Lord, you make time. Now, that'll be one of the hardest things you'll ever do. I know most of you are working and everything like that. Well, I do too, and I have a good time with the Lord in my office. But I need to continually drink at the fountain of grace. John chapter 4, would you stand with me in respect to the Word of God? We're going to read verses 1 through 15. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees heard that Jesus had made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus Himself baptized not but His disciples, He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and He must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh He to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. The woman said unto Him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto Him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Shall we pray? Our Lord, this morning open our understandings, teach us these things from Thy blessed Word, as Thou dost reveal them to us, and then apply them to us individually and collectively. You may be seated. Our lesson today falls into these two simple categories. Well, three categories if we have the time to do it. First of all, we're going to look at this woman of Samaria. There's some statements here today that probably you haven't heard before, but I want you to listen very carefully. Secondly, we're going to look at the fountain of grace as it's seen in water. Every time you drink a glass of water, you ought to be reminded of the fountain of grace, and we're going to point that out to you this morning. Then thirdly, we'll show you, if we have the time, the likelihood of grace. Now, I want you to notice this woman, if you will, at Samaria. Three things stand out with regard to her, as they also stand out with regard to the unsaved at this present hour. Number one, she was a Gentile outside of the promises of God. Now hold your seat and keep this truth, if you will. If you don't get anything else, I want you to get this. No individual outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is under the promises of God. Now keep that in mind. No individual outside of the Lord Jesus Christ is under the promises of God, nor are they under the grace of God. Now you keep that in mind. Now why do I tell you this? Because today we have been told that the law is no longer needed, it's not necessary, we're all under grace. No, beloved, the only ones who can prove that to you. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2. And I want you to notice, and then I'm going to turn you to the book of Ephesians in chapter 4. But the book of Ephesians in chapter 2, we find, beginning with verse 11, the Apostle Paul warns us as Gentiles that we have nothing to be proud about. You've had a lot of people tell you, well, I'm so proud that I'm a Christian. Well, beloved, we shouldn't be proud that we're a Christian. We ought to be humbled in the dust before God that God would have mercy upon us, because it's the greatest privilege we can have to be a Christian, and not everybody has that privilege. We have nothing to be proud about. In Ephesians chapter 2, look at verses 11. We find this is what Paul says. Wherefore, remember. Well, why should he call us to attention? Because we forget this. And people today, for the most part, have been told that everybody today is under grace. No, the only people that are under grace are those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Now, if you don't know Christ, you're not under grace. You're under God's law. And the law of God says, still says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the law of God also says very clearly these words, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things of the law to do that. And so people without Christ are not under grace, they're under law. Not only that, they are separated from the promises of God. Again, Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, by that flesh made by hands. Now notice, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now look at that next verse. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now, isn't that plain? Now look again. Ephesians chapter 4, and turn to verse 17. Listen again to what it says. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now that tells you very clearly from the Word of God that an individual without the Lord Jesus Christ is not under the covenant of God, and they are not under the promises of God. Now this is why a lot of people, they claim the promises of God, but all they want God's promises, but they don't want God's restrictions, they don't want God's orders, they don't want God's lordship over them, and as a result, they do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore they do not have the promises of God for them. Every individual outside of Christ is alienated from God. Keep that in mind. Doesn't make any difference if we've been raised in a Christian home or not. Heard last week where a deacon's wife got saved. I praise the Lord for it. She was a daughter of a preacher. And now she just got saved. But all that time she was in her unsaved condition, she was not under the mind. That the reason you got saved when you did is because God had special mercy on you, and he appointed you to be converted by him, unto him, and that was done by the Lord God of heaven a long time ago. Now you and I didn't know that. And this Gentile woman, now you go back to John chapter 4 if you will, she's a picture of the Gentile people outside of the promises of God. She was a woman of Samaria. In verse 20 we find very clearly, this is what it says. Notice, our fathers worshipped in this fountain, and yet ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now she was a woman of Samaria. She was a Gentile outside of the promises of God. She thought that she could worship in Samaria as well as she could worship in Jerusalem, and that's people today. There are people today, they go out there as it were in a full moon and they bay at the moon. And some today worship trees and everything else, and some of them worship Mother Earth. They're no different than this Gentile woman. They're outside of the promises of God, as every individual without Christ at this hour. Now they are blind to spiritual values, as this woman was. She was arguing with the Lord Jesus, so to speak, in one sense of the word. She said, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and yet ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Well, how many times do you hear that today? Well, the Church of Christ is just as well as the Catholic Church and the Pentecostal Church and every other church. Well, you Baptists think you're the only ones that are saved. That sound familiar? But it's not so. And what do you have here? This woman told the Lord Jesus, and she said, well, you worship at Jerusalem, we worship here at Jacob's Well. Now, who's right? Well, God point. You and I have to always remember this and keep it in mind, that the Bible, the authority, there is no other higher authority. And anything that goes contrary to the Word of God is absolutely wrong. period. Now, if you don't believe that, you need to get to that point. You say, what are you talking about? Well, you take in the chemistry world, you have certain laws. You break those laws and you're going to have an explosion. In the moral world, you have certain laws. You break those laws, you're going to suffer the consequences. In the spiritual realm, you have certain realities and laws. And God hasn't changed. The Lord God of heaven said point blank, every individual is to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are God's commands. Those that don't do it will suffer the consequences. Period. Well, preacher, you're being so dogmatic about it. Well, God's dogmatic. He won't change. And he's put this world in order, and this world is governed by certain laws. And those laws are inexorable. They're inflexible. And I'll tell you something else. Many times they're inscrutable, but they are also indispensable. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, this world is approximately 93 million miles away. If it goes to 98 million miles away, we'll freeze to death. If it goes to 85 million miles, now this is what God has set in order. And it can't be changed, because if it is changed, then the consequences will be suffered. But I'm so glad that God is in charge and he's on the throne in the physical realm. He's on the throne also in the spiritual realm. And he has set forth a certain method whereby an individual is to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that method has not changed one iota. And our Lord here, with regard to the woman of Samaria, he was setting it forth. And we find very clearly notice. She portrays the unsaved of today. She was a Gentile outside of the promises of God. She was blind to spiritual values. Her spiritual values were this. Notice. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain. In other words, the mountain that she was acquainted with was just as good a place to worship as any place else. Not according to God's economy. Because our Lord said very clearly. He said, woman, he said very clearly, these words, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what. We worship what we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now, preacher, what do you have here? Well, we have here that she was blind to spiritual values. And people today are in the same category. Blind to spiritual values. Now, preacher, what are you talking about? All right, there's only one Savior that God has ever provided for this world, and that Savior is a Jew. Now, people today hate the Jews. They castigate the Jews. They defile the Jews. They had their way, they'd kill the Jews. But there's no salvation outside of the Jews. And the Lord Jesus Christ is a Jew. And if you're saved here today and you hate the Jews, you better go back and find out if you've ever been converted. Because now what in the world are you talking about? Salvation is of the Jew. And woman reality. And we find individuals today are also blind to this reality, because if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. And we see very clearly this is what the Lord is setting forth. Now notice again, the third thing about this woman was this. She was continually thirsty. Now notice, if you will, John chapter 4 and verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. All right, there's a great deal of discussion about the sixth hour. Why did the woman come to the sixth hour? I read a lot of commentaries, and they said this. Well, she was hated by all the other people in Samaria, and so the women of Samaria wouldn't have nothing to do with her, and she came to draw water. Well, that sounds pretty good. But number six is a number of man. And what God is showing us here, that it was the sixth hour, and he was waiting for her to come, because it was time by God's appointment that she was to come to have a relationship and a meeting of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby she came to the well, a harlot of a woman, she went away a saved person. And the Lord Jesus was waiting for her right here. telling us very clearly that God has a time and a place for an individual to meet Christ. Now that time and place for you, if you're here without the Lord Jesus this morning, is right now, right here in this place. You're here by divine appointment, you're here by God's direction, and my hope is that the Holy Spirit of God is working in your heart, and if you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior before you leave this building, that you'll have a relationship and an encounter with Christ like this woman had. Now this woman was continually thirsty, setting forth again that the things of the world do not satisfy, because within the heart of every individual there is a spiritual emptiness that only the Lord Jesus Christ can supply. This woman noticed that. And we see very clearly she came to draw water. She had a water pot. Well, last time I pointed out to you the different water pots that are in the world at this hour. I'll just mention them to you again. First of all, there's a water pot of religion. Now, preacher, what in the world are you driving at? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 for just a moment, and let me show you the water pot of religion. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, we find very clearly, verse 7, look at what it says. Ever learning and ever able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Anybody here like that? Always remember one thing. If you come along, and I've had people tell me down through the years, well, Brother Northier, I just don't understand the Bible. You know why? Because you're not saved. That's the reason. Well, when I read the Bible, it's nothing but a bunch of words. Well, that's because you don't have fellowship with God. This Bible is God's love letters to His people. And the only way you're going to understand it, the first thing, you've got to get acquainted with the author. And the author of this book is none other than the Lord Himself. And yet there are people today that are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I know some groups of folks today that I'll tell you right now, boy, they can preach on the doctrine of election like nobody else, but they don't know how God saves a sinner. I know others that are all wrapped up in the Ten Commandments. They can really preach that, and they do a good job, but they don't know how God saves a sinner. I know others that are filled with prophecy, and they're good on prophecy, but when you come to talk to them about how in the world God saves a sinner, we'll say this, they don't know, they don't understand. And they're just in this category, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, because the Lord Jesus Christ is the truth and you've got to know Him. And this woman had a water pot, and the water pot of religion today is leaving all kinds of people thirsty, and that's why you have all kinds of individuals, you have all kinds of churches going around here and there, and they have every kind of shape and form, so to speak, and it proves one thing, they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, how about you this morning? First of all, I didn't ask you if you're a member of the Baptist Church. You don't care about that. Do you know Christ? That's what counts. After you know the Bible, and then we find there are people today, you know, they're baptized for salvation, and that's not right. Instead, we should be baptized because of salvation, and that's what the Scripture teaches. And so this woman, we find these water pots, there's the water pot of religion, then there's a water pot of lust. Go back to John chapter 4, if you will, and look with me at verses 16 and 17, and listen to what it says. The Lord Jesus said these words to her. Jesus said to her, go call your husband, go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that thou saidest truly. Now you see, what are you talking about? Well, here you have cohabitation of man and wife, and of man and woman, and they're not married. I'll tell you right now, it's no different today, is it? But it doesn't make it right. And this woman, she cohabited with five husbands, and now she had a sixth one. And he wasn't her husband, so you see, she wasn't satisfied. And how many people are like that today? They jump from this place to that place, and they'll jump from one church to another, and so on and so forth, and they blame everybody but themselves. This woman here had to face reality. And the Lord Jesus pointed his finger, and he said to her, he said, go call your husband. She said, I have any. And she said, I don't have any. He said, no. And he said, you've had five of them, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. And it struck home to her heart, because she found out that the water pot of lust doesn't satisfy. And how many movie stars today? That's all they are. They're cohabiting with men and women, just like the Bible says would take place in the last day. But what is it? It's the water pot of lust, and it never satisfies. Then we find also there's the water pot of education. Now, I'm not against education. I have 3 different degrees. And I'm not against it. But if an individual goes to school and doesn't know anything about the Lord, and they keep on going and keep on going, and we find out that they have the water pot of education, and it doesn't satisfy. Now, let me prove that. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 1. And let me show that to you, if I may. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 1, look at verses 16 through 18. I communed with my own heart, saying, Lo, I am come to great estate, and have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, my heart had great experience of wisdom, and I had wisdom unto know madness and folly. I perceive that this also is a vexation of spirit, for in much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? The Lord's telling us point blank. The water pot of education isn't going to satisfy. And we find what's happened. Our schools have kicked out the Bible, they've kicked out prayer, they've kicked out the Ten Commandments, and so they substituted education in its place, and they say, all right, here, if we educate these kids on AIDS, they're not going to do it. No, sir, all it's doing is feeding the lust that's already there. And they're proving one thing, that the water pot of education does not satisfy. Now, how about you? Are you satisfied with Christ? If you're not, there's something wrong, isn't there? Then we find there's not only the water pot of education, but then we see there's the water pot of money. Oh, people got upset this week, didn't they? The stock market dropped 200 or 400 some points. And some people lost over $1 billion. Well, and they began to cry. Well, in 1929, when they had the great big crash, I mean, people jumped out of the various windows in New York City and committed suicide, because what happened? All their money was gone. Well, the water pot of money will not satisfy. I know some people at this very hour that are as wealthy as they can be, and they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've never seen a more miserable group of folks than them. Like the one lady, she said, all my husband does is sit here and count. She said, he counts his stocks and bonds and how much money he's got. And she said, he doesn't care about me. And that's just about the way it is. But you see, there's always a thirst there, the water pot. Then last of all, we find also there's a water pot of government and power. Now turn back, if you will, to Proverbs chapter 21. And look at me at verses 1 through 4. In Proverbs chapter 21. Verses 1 through 4, the scripture says these things, and this is something we always need to know. And I hope that you're praying for those in authority over us. If you're not, start. I dare say that if our officials were prayed for as much as they've been criticized, something would happen. And that's by God's people. In Proverbs 21, verse 1, we read, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is government. People are, oh, they've got to have this government, they've got to have this position. And we see if they, and with government it comes power, and it's also a water pot. It does not satisfy. Now, preacher, you're telling us all these things. Well, what does satisfy? The fountain of grace found in the Lord Jesus. Now, go back to our text in John chapter 4. And let me show you, if I may, the fountain of grace that the Lord Jesus talked about to this woman, and he gave. And it's the fountain of grace that he gave us. And it's seen in the common element called water. Now, I live in Bryant, and right now in our present area, we're under a boil order. What happened was they cut a water line and did something, and the water's gotten contaminated. And the city of Bryant knocked at the, rang the doorbell the other night. And I went out there and I didn't see anybody. And I noticed a little thing in the doorway. And it said this, until further notice, you are under a boil order. Do not use your water without first boiling it for at least 5 minutes. Now that means that water's contaminated. The common element of water is a picture of the fountain of grace that is found in the Lord Jesus. Now look at verse 13 and 14. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Now what in the world do you have here? Here you have the fountain of grace that's seen in water. Now water is a common thing, but I want you to notice, water is thirst removing, and so is grace. So is grace. Before you got saved, you were not satisfied. There was something inside of you that was not satisfied. You may have gone from one extreme to the other. This is why people go to dope. This is why people go to alcohol. This is why people go to lust and everything like that. They're not satisfied. But you know, water is a common thing. Water will satisfy the thirst of the physical body, and grace will satisfy the thirst of the soul that's within man. And don't ever forget that. And so the Lord Jesus said, Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. All right, water also, and like grace, is life-preserving. Water is absolutely necessary for you and I to live, and the grace of God is necessary for you and I to live eternally. Now, do you know Christ? The third thing about water and grace is we find also it's a softening agent. You see that so plain. You go out and water your garden, and I'll tell you right now, when you put that water on that garden, that ground will get just as hard as a rock. But you let our Lord send the showers of rain upon that garden, and you know what'll happen? That water that comes down from above will soften that hard ground, and it'll equip it so that it'll be able to soak up that beautiful water, and it'll give nourishment and life to those plants. And there's no water that is as good as the rainwater. And I'll tell you again, there's nothing like the grace of God that can soften the heart of an individual. Now let me show you that. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and look with me. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and let me show you how the grace of God softened these hardened sinners. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, we read, Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now look at this next verse. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I'll tell you right now, grace is like water, like the rainwater that God sends from above, and grace also comes from above, and we find it will soften the hardest heart of the worst sinner that ever lived, like the rainwater will soften the hardened ground, and grace is a softening agent. Then we see also, grace, like water, is filth purging. Yesterday, I worked over here in the nursery. When I went home, I had all kinds of stuff on my fingers that I had to wash off. And I started peeling it off a little bit, but I'll tell you right now, didn't do a very good job until I stuck my hands in water. Now, what did it do? Well, water is like grace. It cleanses from all filth. Aren't you glad? God has cleansed you from all your filth and stain of sin, and that when you stand before God clad in the robes of righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, all that filth that you were part of and was a part of you has absolutely been gone, and you've been washed in the blood and is brought down to you because of grace. And grace is like water. What does it do? We find very clearly it purges out the filth, doesn't it? Then grace also, like water, as quenches the fire. Now, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? Turn to Mark chapter 5 for a moment, and let me show you. Mark chapter 5. This was alluded to in our Sunday school lesson this morning. I thought at first my brother was going to steal my sermon, but he didn't. But in Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because he had been often bound with chains and fetters, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And beloved, that's a picture of a sinner without Christ. And what does water do? We find grace is like the water, is fire quenching. You say, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? Okay, skip down if you will and look with me in verse 15 and listen to what it says. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the demon and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And what does grace do? I'll tell you what grace will do. Grace will quench the fire that rages in the bosom of an individual without Christ, because grace, like the fire, is fire quenching. It quenches the fire of lust. It quenches the fire of envy. It quenches the fire of malice. It quenches the fire of stubbornness, jealousy, greed, and selfishness. The grace of God is able to do anything that's necessary. And it's like water. And water is also fire quenching. And then go back to our text, if you will, and let me give you just two more simple things, as our time is just about gone. And we find very clearly in John chapter 4, we see also that grace is a never-ending spring. In John chapter 4, we find verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. All right, let me ask you a question. Anybody here been saved 40 years? You've been saved for 40 years or better? Have you ever found the Lord Jesus Christ to be commonplace? Have you ever found him to be one that doesn't satisfy you? What does the songwriter say? I am satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with Jesus. That's right. And those today that are going into one thing, speaking in tongues and all these other characteristics and so on, tells you point blank. You know what they're doing? They're revealing that they don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, because they got to have something else. Because when we are in Christ, we are complete in him. And when you're complete in him, you need nothing else. And that's found in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10. And that word comes from the word pleroma, which is this. It is a picture that is filled up to the very top and running over. And when you have put water or tea or coffee, whatever it is, into a cup, and it's filled up and you keep pouring in there, that cup's going to run over. And the Lord Jesus said, you are complete in me, because Christ is the head of all principality and power. And grace, like water, is not only fire quenching, but it is a never-ending spring. And then last of all, grace, like water, is fruit producing and heaven ascending. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Okay, take your Bibles now and turn to Galatians chapter 5. And I'll show you the fruit producing that's set forth by grace. In Galatians chapter 5, look with me if you will, verse 22. Listen to what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lusts. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, the next time you get envious, the next time you get argumentative, and the next time you hold grudges, you remember one thing. That's not the product of grace. That's the product of the old sinful nature. And grace, we find, grace is fruit-producing and heaven ascending. Grace reaches from heaven and back to heaven again. And we find, like water, it finds its own level. And grace rises as high as its source. Now, the Lord Jesus used a common element, didn't he? Water. Next time you drink a drink of water, even before you go home, turn that fountain out there and drink a drink of water. My hope is that the Lord will remind you that this is a picture of the marvelous, wondrous, matchless grace of God. And you want to know something? The likelihood of grace is this. There's an abundant grace for everyone. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, I don't know how deep the well is out here for this church. But I dare say that probably when they put in the well, they probably tried to pump it dry. and they probably couldn't. I know when we built the church in Michigan, our well was 180 feet deep, and we tried to pump that dry. It's what they call a rock well. And what meant this, that there was as long as there was water in the earth, there'd be water. And they had a four-inch line, and I mean they pumped that well for 48 hours straight and couldn't run it dry. And we knew that it was a good well. The grace of God is a never-ending source. It comes from heaven, reaches to earth, goes back to heaven, it finds its own level, and we find very clearly it'll rise as high as its source. And the thing of it is, the more grace that we drink of, as we drink at the fountain of grace, the more grace that we partake of, it'll cause us and change us and bring forth the fruit of the Spirit like God wants us to be. And the Lord Jesus used a plain, common, ordinary element. And that's the element of water. Now the marvelous thing of it is this. There's abundant grace for everyone. And anybody that has truly sought the Lord has found Him, or they will find Him. My last meeting that I was in Good Springs, Alabama, I talked with this young man and I said to him, I said, Danny, I said, you don't know the Lord yet, do you? He said, no, I don't. I said, are you really seeking Him? He said, well, I think I am. I said, well, you're really not, or you'd have found Him. Now, what in the world are you talking about? Jeremiah says that you will seek me, and when you seek me and search for me, you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. And too many people today, they want the benefits of Christ without wanting Christ. And John 6 tells us, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. I've had people tell me, there's no hope for me. There's no hope for me. Well, there is a hope. The hope we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have any problem, whatever it is, you go to Him first. Seek from Him the solution and ask Him to give you the grace that's needed. And the grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, and grace comes apart from any merit, worth, or anything else. Because it's by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. All my hope is that something has been said this morning that will open your heart and open your eyes and make you see and realize what a privilege it is to know the Lord Jesus. And then, if you haven't been drinking of the water of grace, may I urge you to do so. And that means you'll take time to spend with the Lord and to serve Him. Oh, what a privilege it is to be in fellowship with our God day in and day out. Shall we stand? Our Father, this morning we thank You for this opportunity and the privilege, Lord, and we thank You for the clear teaching of the water. How marvelous it is that, Lord, the common element that we take so much for granted is a classic picture of Thy sovereign, free, eternal grace. And all we pray, Lord, if there's anyone in this room today that has not drank of that grace, we ask Thee, Lord, make them thirsty. Oh, show them. Lord, You've got to make them thirsty or they'll never drink. And we pray that even now, that if You haven't made them thirsty, You'll do so. And if You have, Lord, give them the grace to look to Thee and to drink of Thee, and they'll find in Thee the abundant fountain of grace, like the Lord Jesus told that woman of Samaria. If you drink of this water, we'll never thirst, and how true it is. And we praise You today for this opportunity and privilege. So work out Thy purpose here in each heart and life and family that's represented. We pray now for Christ's sake. Amen.